Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned ajaban li amri al-mu'min, that a mu'min, his condition is very strange, that when he goes to some bad condition, then he makes sabr, and when he goes to some good conditions, then he makes shukr. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to show us that this dunya is a place where you'll have ups and downs. If you want only good conditions, then that you will get it in Jannat. And if you want only bad conditions, Allah protect us, and then that will be in Jahannam. But this dunya is made up of all different types of situations. Mullah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, a very great buzurg and saint, has mentioned that when a person goes through different types of conditions, whether good or bad, then he must keep in mind six things. The first thing he mentions is that you must make sabr. Whatever the condition is, you must make sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about different incidents of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran Sharif. And when, what's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these incidents? Allah ta'ala says, وَكُلَّنْ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. The reason why we have mentioned these incidents is so that when you read these incidents, then your heart becomes strong, your iman becomes strong, you become more firm, more close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the incident of Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam, that wa Ayyub idh nada rabbahu anni massani ad-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. Allah had given him so much wealth, health, children, he had servants, he had everything, he had different types of wealth also in the form of farms, in the form of animals, so many things he had. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken everything away from him. Had taken everything away from him. So much so that everyone abandoned him except his wife. They deserted him. He was afflicted with a sickness, something like leprosy. Every part of his body was afflicted with it. Except his tongue was not afflicted, and except his mind was still there, that wasn't afflicted, but everything else was afflicted. But at that time also he did not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna wajadnahu sabira. We found him at that time, he was very firm, he had a lot of sabr, a lot of patience. Ni'mal abdu, what a servant he was. Allah is praising him, what a servant he was. But at that time he was firm, and he made sabr. So much so that according to one narration, in Ma'arif al-Quran is mentioned, that his wife even asked him one time, and why don't you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala takes away this sickness? He said, I enjoyed so many years of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now Allah ta'ala just for a few years he has put me to some types of condition. I'm feeling shy to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove all this affliction. But after some time, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned that he heard two people, some narration says it was his two brothers. They were speaking amongst themselves and they're saying that it seems that Ayyub has committed some sin and made Allah very angry. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting him in this condition. At that time he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, now the people are getting the wrong impression. That, oh Allah, you remove this thing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Urkud bi rijlik hada mukhtasalun baridu wa sharab. Now you hit your feet onto the ground and the water will gush forth and you take a bath in that water and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure you from it. From here we also understand a very important point. The difficulties that come upon people is not only because of sins. One of the reasons is sins, but not always. The difficulties come upon Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and we know they are sinless. So that is the first thing that a person needs to do, is a person needs to have sabr in whatever condition he's going through. The second thing he mentions is that a person must not become despondent. A mu'min, and he becomes despondent? No, it can never be. A mu'min can never become despondent. Here again we see in the lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he lost his son. At that time also he said, Fasabrun Jamil. And after so many years of separation, he still never lose hope. In the end, he still says, Ya bani yadhhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf wa akhihi wa la tayasu min ruhillah. He said, oh my sons, go and look for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And do not lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mu'min is strong. And his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also strong. So that is the second thing, that a person must never ever become despondent. Imagine Wahshi. What he had done? He had killed the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's an incident mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba. That when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him towards Islam, at that time he wrote to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told, Ya Rasulullah, you know what I had done. I committed murder. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. That those people who committed murder, they committed zina, then they don't make tawbah from it, then there's a severe punishment that is waiting for them. So he wrote back to the Muslim, how can I be safe from that punishment when I know I committed murder? Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. That those people who make tawbah, make sincere tawbah, Allah will forgive you. So he wrote back, that I'm not sure that if I make tawbah, whether I will do that action again, or whether I won't do it action, who got guarantee? No person got a guarantee. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That besides shirk and kufr, Allah won't forgive anything else. If you died upon iman, then Allah will forgive you. But then the condition is there. وَيَغْفِرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah will forgive whomsoever He wishes. Again Wahshi wrote, radiallahu anhu, that there's still a condition there. If Allah wishes, then only. Then Allah Ta'ala revealed the verses, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a mu'min never loses hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He always is strong. His connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also so. So the second thing Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi mentions is that a person must not become despondent. The third thing he mentions, do not allow the difficulty to cause you to leave out your duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the most important thing. That Allah who had helped us all this time. And now when we go to some type of difficulties, and we forget that Allah, Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah, he has mentioned in his kitab, Khazain al-Quran, he has mentioned that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, one day one philosopher asked him that, I need to ask you a question. If you answer me that question, then I will accept Islam in you. I'll bring iman in you. So he said, what is that question? He said that if someone is shooting at me arrows, I got nothing to protect myself from it, and someone is shooting at me, how must I defend myself? So he said, I'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, inshallah, will send wahi to me. Allah ta'ala sent wahi to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to tell him to go and stand behind the person that is shooting. If you stand behind the person that is shooting, you'll be saved. So he says, this is the meaning of fafirru ilallah. You run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know it's our belief. Biyadikal khayru wa shar. That all good and bad, happy and sad, everything is in the control of Allah. All conditions are coming from Allah. The effect, yes, we are living in this world. We're living in a place of asbab. We have to use the means. But the effect in that means will be put by Allah. Allah will decide whether that thing must be effective or not. So therefore, how can we forget the one that is controlling everything? So fafirru ilallah. Do not forget your duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That tilawat of Quran, the surah Yasin in the morning, that fajr salah, all our 5 times daily salah in the masjid, those things we can't forget. Because those things are our duties, and we know that if we do that, our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain strong. It will remain strong. So never forget your duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter he mentions that the fourth thing is dua. What a beautiful prescription this is. Why a person knows that he's living in this dunya as a threat, so he'll be using the means. But when he uses the means, and then when he picks up his hand and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indirectly he's showing Allah, oh Allah, I do not have trust in my means, I have trust in you. So he's using the means. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a riwayat of Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, أَغْلِقُ الْأَبْوَابِ وَاذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. That lock your front door, but at the same time, you take the name of Allah. So you're using the means also at one time, and at the same time, you're also taking the name of Allah. So before you lock your door in the evening, then you will read Allahu la ilaha, you read the ayatul kursi, you read all your du'as and everything. So you locked your door also, you used the means also, and at the same time you made the dua. So you're showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm not having trust in this It means that I'm having trust in you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in Bukhari and mentioned in Mishkat also that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was reading Salah one day, one night, and he got stung by a scorpion. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took some medication also, took some salt, took some water, he rubbed it on that, on the place that he was stung. And at the same time he made dua also, showing to us that you use the medication also, but at the same time you will make dua to show Allah, oh Allah, I'm not having trust in this, I'm having trust in you. So dua is a very, very great ibadat. Very, very great ibadat. Every person's dua is accepted. Yes, in different ways, as it comes according to the muhaddithin, they mention that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you exactly what you ask for. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep it in store for you in the akhirat. Or sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove another difficulty of yours. Imagine if a person knew, he got like a list of 100 problems. And each time he made dua for one thing, one of those problems are removed. How happy he will get? So sometimes a person is making dua, he's not getting the exact thing. But one of his problems and calamities are being removed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept. وَقَالَ Allah ta'ala has promised. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. But there are some people, they don't want to make dua to me. Allah ta'ala gets angry, it comes in the hadith. Allah gets upset that this person is not making dua to me. So a person must make dua. Yes, there are no conditions for the time of making dua. Whether you are in a state of purification or not, you can still make dua. There's no stipulation of time. You can make dua any time. Yes, there are conditions for the acceptance of dua. When you look into the ahadith, then it mentions to us that one is a person must not make dua for something that is sinful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept that. Second, a person's intake and a person's eating, etc., and his eating and food, etc., everything, his earnings, everything must be halal. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those things that are pure. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an example of a musafir, a traveler who's traveling. And this musafir, normally a musafir, it comes in the hadith, a musafir's dua is accepted. But this person, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Everything of his from top to bottom is haram. Inside and out is haram. His clothing is haram, his eating is haram, his drinking, everything is haram. How is Allah going to accept such a dua? Allah is not going to accept such a dua. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah has mentioned an incident of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. In his time, there were a group of people. They were mustajabu da'wat. They were known as people who their du'as are accepted. And he was worried about them that if they make du'a against him, then the punishment of Allah will come upon him. So he decided to invite them. He invited them for a meal. They ate the meal and after they finished, he told them that, now I'm not worried about you. The meal that you ate was haram. The haram. Now because you ate haram, Allah is not going to accept your du'as. So the person's intake, a person's earnings, a person's, especially in today's time, people are going through a lot of difficulties. Allah remove the difficulties of each and every person. Financial difficulties. So now at this time, a person is tempted to do any type of a deal also. A person must be very, very careful of his earnings. Where he's earning, where he's spending. And the third condition is that ud'u Allah wa antum muqinoon bil ijaba. That that you must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you got that yaqeen in your heart, Allah will accept it. So that is one dua, the way we lift up our hands and we make. The other type of dua is what the masnoon duas that we learn every day, for all different occasions. We don't realize that when we're making dua, then we're actually making a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those duas, when you look at the meanings of the duas that we read, they are dua in itself. We're asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're asking for. For example, a person is eating his food. Before he starts his food, he says, Allahumma barik lana fihi wa at'imna khayran minhu. Oh Allah, you give me barakat in this food and give me better than this. You are showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you are in need of better. So these du'as that we are reading, when this masnoon du'as, is actually making a du'a we don't realize. We don't even have the intention of du'a at that time. We're not lifting up our hands to anything. But at that time, we are actually making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next thing, as Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, is that in a time of difficulties, etc., is a person who must make istighfar. This is another very beautiful thing. Istighfar, when a person makes istighfar, indirectly he's trying to say, the problem is with me. Unfortunately, today we have a problem. Everything is happening because of the next person. I'm the best person. Nothing, there is nothing wrong with me. But when a person makes istighfar, indirectly he's trying to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the problem is with me. If each and every person thinks to himself that I am the problem, and he makes that istighfar, inshallah you see everyone making istighfar. Hayatul Sahaba is mentioned, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, such a great Sahabi, he says, I make istighfar daily 12,000 times. 12,000 times istighfar he makes. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all know, famous hadith, some hadiths say 70 times, some say 100 times. رَبِّ اغْفِلِّي وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ رَبِّ اغْفِلِّي وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Oh Allah, forgive me. You are the most merciful. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sinless. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Oh Allah, made a mistake. They made mistakes. They never committed sins. We are committing sins. And we're not making tawbah. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Thereafter, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah mentions the last thing. He says, if anyone is afflicted with any difficulty, if we know of anyone who is afflicted with difficulties, then make dua for him, number one. Make dua for him. Don't make dua only for yourself. Make dua for everyone. And we know it comes in the hadith that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, you make dua for a person who's ghaib, who he doesn't know, you making dua for him. Then an angel is there, walaka mislu. Let the same dua be for your, even for this person who's making the dua, may you get the same thing. Same reward. And secondly, if you have the means, financially or any other means of assisting that person, then assist him. And start with family people first. If you know a person is going through some type of difficulty, then try to assist him. So you make dua for him and you assist him. So these are the six things that Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi mentioned that a person at a time of difficulty must do. Number one is that he must have sabr. Number two, never become despondent of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, don't allow the difficulty to come between you and your duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't forget your salah, your zakat, and your tilawat of Quran, all the other good deeds. Number four is dua. Never forget your dua. And number five is istighfar. Abundant istighfar in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number six, if anyone is afflicted, then you make dua for him and you try to assist the person. So in this way, if we have these six things in our life, there'll be moderation in whatever we do. Remember, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Al-Imanu bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. Iman is between fear and hope. You can't have only hope, then you become too bold and pride comes into you. And you can't become, you have so much of fear that you lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, you have iman and you have hope. You make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma afriq alina sabru wa thabbitna. أفرغ علينا صبر وثبت أقدامنا. That oh Allah grant us firmness in whatever we are doing and keep our feet firm upon deen. And اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله.